Before you carry on to the next point, which was really yesterday in terms of the 2100 trial, I'm curious what your thoughts were 2 years ago when the colon trial presented by Herb Hurwitz showed a striking benefit adding bevacizumab to IFL.
Well, I was happy because it validated the field as a whole. I was disappointed that breast cancer didn't get there first. And as ECOG breast chair, I was pleased because it almost immediately resulted in an increase in accrual to E2100.
Interesting. And I guess the other thing was it really generated a lot of interest in the mechanism of action. You know, Lee Ellis, who we interviewed a number of times for the colon series, took a leadership role and many other people in trying to figure out what was going on. What was your take on all that discussion?
Well, I still don't think we know how bevacizumab works in patients with breast cancer. It's certainly not targeted therapy in any meaningful sense today. We can't, in breast cancer or in any other disease, as far as I know, we cannot predict which patients will benefit. We do not have a marker that we can measure in the tumor. I think we're going to have that pretty soon, mind you.
What do you think it's going to be?
At the simplest level, it may be something like quantitative VEGF within the tumor. In breast cancer, for instance, in E2100, which we'll discuss in a minute, we have tumor blocks in urine and blood on the majority of the patients who enter the trial. We've got lots of assays for a lot of different surrogates of angiogenesis that we'll be able to apply to that tissue. I'm confident we're going to find a signal somewhere.
And how many VEGFs are there that bevacizumab blocks?
Well, VEGF represents a family of ligands, VEGF, A, B, C, and D. VEGF-A is what is specifically targeted by bevacizumab.
And what's the difference in terms of activity of those factors?
Well, VEGF-A appears to be the predominant factor in terms of the growth of new blood vessels in breast cancer and other solid tumor malignancies.